have to differentiate between all these different plots. They're not all the same. If you're talking about the plots last year that were discovered in the United States, the cell down in North Carolina that was led by Daniel Boyd, the cell that was uncovered up in Riverdale, New York, those cells are an example of legalist terrorism in the sense that these are like-minded individuals who simply came together to carry out an attack. If you're talking about the December 2009 attack over Detroit or the recent attack in Times Square, these were not examples of legalist terrorism. These are examples of what we would call command terrorism. Those two individuals were under the command and control of a larger parent terrorist organization. In the case of the Christmas Day bombing, that individual was under the command of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, based in Yemen. In terms of the Times Square attempt, all information suggests that this individual was under the supervision of the Pakistan Taliban. And so when you're looking at all these type of incidents that are taking place, I think it's very important to be able to differentiate between what is leadless terrorism and what is command terrorism.
At the end of the day, is there some kind of difference that is important to authorities who are trying to combat it, to counterterrorism officials?
I think it is important to properly tag these cells, because if they are, if a cell is a leaderless cell, inherently these type of cells aren't well trained, they don't have access to a lot of money, and they have a tendency to make mistakes. In other words, the fruition of the operation is less likely to take place. If, however, they are command terrorism cells, then the implication is that they have access to more money and that they are better trained, in which case those type of cells could carry out more damage and be more difficult to detect. So it is important to tag so that you can say, over the last year, jihadist leadless terrorism has increased or decreased, or jihadist command terrorism has increased or decreased, to try to get a picture of what threat element is causing us the most concern.
What do you suppose was the reason for the mistakes then in this case involving Faisal Shahzad in Times Square? It seemed as though, yes, he was operating under a command and control situation, but he still made some pretty serious mistakes in terms of his preparation and planting the device.
Well, all cells, all individuals, I mean, they are individuals, they are humans, there are tendencies to make mistakes. In theory, if that individual is trained at a terrorism camp and his training is good, then he's going to make less mistakes. If he goes to a training camp and his training isn't as good, then he may make mistakes. And so this individual, we don't know how extensive his training was in Pakistan and whether or not he absorbed the training and applied it in the situation. Clearly, in terms of constructing the bomb, he made mistakes. In terms of leaving the keys of the escape car on the key ring of the bombing vehicle, that's just a lack of common sense. So, it's clear that these individuals, because they're individuals, they're going to have a tendency to make mistakes. They are humans, but hopefully from their perspective, at least, they minimize those mistakes.
There was back in 2006 in June, you spoke at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars on this topic of leaderless terrorism, and you spoke about it in a manner in which suggested that this might be the wave of the future. Is that accurate?
I think when you're talking about leaderless terrorism, especially with the Al-Qaeda connection, you have to interpret the increase in these independent cells that are being inspired by Al-Qaeda in the United States to carry out attacks. I think you have to interpret that as a sign of the core's weakness and not to look at it as a reflection of their strength. What you have, I think, is since immediately after 9/11, when we went into Afghanistan and subjected them to intense counterterrorism pressure, we forced, and I emphasize, we forced Al-Qaeda to adapt. And they adapted in the sense that if they were having problems carrying out attacks, then it was logical for them to try to inspire others to carry out those attacks for them. And so this is a totally logical development that we've seen.
Former State Department counterterrorism agent Dennis Pluchensky, J.J. Green, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.